What?
I didn't do it.
Well, plug it in.
I didn't do it.
Well, I know you didn't do it, but plug it in. I can't hear through the air headphones.
You know I'm hopeless when it comes to technical stuff. Yeah.
Are we on air? We're going to start again.
No, no, we're on.
What? What an opening.
What?
What an opening.
Well, you could have carried the opening while I was getting the earphones plugged in, Don. Yeah, you just sit there like a lemming. Say something,
well,
man.
I was a lemming this morning waiting for my coffee. I was in another world. I pulled up in my car and you know how
speak
you're in
into the...
Would you shut up? And I was in another world sitting there waiting to get out of my car and you know how you get startled? I thought, who is this old man wandering towards me?
What's that?
I got it out of, just as I was getting out of my car to get a coffee this morning, I wondered who this old man was wandering towards me, and I looked up, and it was you.
You fucking idiot.
No, I am not an idiot.
No, mate.
I told you I was in another world, and you somebody just went, shit, it's you.
Don, please.
God, you've aged in a week.
I'll tell you what, Don, you're getting a bit complacent as well. You're late for a start. You're half an hour late. What, are you just starting to get ahead of yourself, are you?
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Thanks, Rod.
8:55.
Yeah, we started up past 8.
Oh, oh we've changed from Tuesday for your golf, and now we're starting at 8:30.
Don, don't get ahead
and
of
he's charging out people to come and watch a show these days.
Yeah, we've got now an audience. Ivan Milat's back in. Where's his hat and gun? I'm worried.
So, and he's horseshoe mo.
So we've had quite a number of people.
Frank Zapata.
Quite a number of people have inquired as to whether they can come and sit in and watch you, Don, go through the hoops. No, they don't believe you. They said, "Is Don as stupid as he appears on the podcast?"
So Billy from Shepparton said that, did he?
No, Billy didn't.
Billy
say that.
Billy just swallowed his coffee then.
No, Billy didn't say that. I said, come in, Billy. Billy is from Shepparton. In fact, we might speak to Billy on air because he's had a little to do with the late Michael Gudinski. And we have a little bit of history with Michael Gudinski, which I'll read out a couple of texts we got and traded with him. But I said, if you want to come and see the most eccentric man on the planet, come and sit down and watch Don go through the hoops. You'll be gobsmacked. Now, first of all, before we get on to more important things, I Dermot Brereton got wind of the fact that he said that he heard you were sitting out the back of your porch or doing something, I don't know what you were doing, and you were watching a wedge-tailed eagle hover in the thermal currents. He said he doubts it was a wedge-tailed eagle. He said it was...
But Dermot knows the name of the unknown soldier as well. Dermot is an expert at every bloody thing going around in this world.
Oh.
I continue. Dermot said...
You two still getting along?
It probably wouldn't be a wedge-tailed eagle. It would probably be a... I said it might have been a kite. He said it would probably be a kestrel.
Oh!
And I said Don wouldn't know the difference. Do you know the difference between a kestrel and a wedge-tailed eagle, Don?
Yes, Johnny.
What is it? Tell us.
Well, tell Dermot there are two wedge-tailed eagles who fly around Red Hill. In actual fact, they nest at Red Hill. And for some reason, this one comes down this time every year, as my neighbour said. She watched it this time last year. Dermot!
You're not nesting with your neighbour, are you? You got a new nest, Dermot, a bit of nesting down
look
there.
Just all Dermot, his time he'd be taking up captaining the thirds at Baden Powell Drive or whatever it is, the cricket
and
team.
And I'll tell you
there.
How that got his in, it got his attention, because I was talking about a completely different topic. I said something, I don't know what we were talking about last week. Oh, you getting a phone call about a parking ticket from me down at the Geelong Yacht Club, and I was explaining how that happened. You said, you know what? And I said, no, I thought you were going to go on about the ticket. He said, I was sitting at the back of my place and I was watching this wedge tail, which had nothing to do with what we're talking about. You just drifted off on another subject. Had nothing to... People find it hard to follow your train of thought, Don. So if you come with anything today, before
Hang on, did Dermot listen or did he get told about this?
Even if Dermot listened, he wouldn't admit that.
Dermot wouldn't admit it.
That's like people said, look, I never watched the footy show, but... And they can tell you everything you did on it. I don't know why it's sort of...
So why wouldn't Dermot admit that he listens to this?
Oh, no, because he won't come on.
Won't he? You know why.
Because of you.
Yeah.
What a joke. Dermot, come on.
Well, what did he say? Something about they?
No, it was about you with the when salary you said cap that, stuff.
Yeah, the salary cap. You said we had a whole set of you different books. You said they books. Cheated. Yeah, he cheated.
Yeah, well, Dermot was part of it. He had his wage cut.
So how did he cheat?
Well, he's getting over the wage. Over the. That's where he went to Sydney.
What are you on? Weren't they on?
What are you trying to laugh, are you?
Don, I'm trying to keep us out of litigation, Don.
Well, that's going to be difficult.
Weren't they on three different contracts?
Sorry?
Weren't they on three different contracts?
Who, Hawthorne? Mm. Oh, I don't know. You tell me. I don't know what was going on. They're being paid out of Tasmania at one stage.
So, anyhow, Don, just a couple. Have you got anything? You bought anything? Well, just just before we start, Dr. Seuss has bitten the dust.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
There's the books now have become politically incorrect.
Oh, I thought he passed away.
Well, he has passed away.
Well, you said he bit the dust.
The Dr. Seuss books have bitten the dust on. Oh. Dr. Seuss has bitten the dust long ago. But our friend from Sweden, Leewee.
Leewee?
Leewee. You remember
from
Leewee?
From China.
Oh, Jesus, Don. Sweden he's from. Sweden.
What did he migrate?
There's a man called Leewee from Sweden. It might be a pseudonym. We had this conversation last week.
Why don't you find out?
You're inviting everyone. Yeah, why don't you talk to him? You're inviting all and sundry along to this podcast.
I talked to him via the social media on the Twitter. He sent some stuff over. Remember about the socialist convention when the bloke said, oh, could you please not refer to gender names when we are addressing us? Remember that man? And the other bloke said he's got
one of those blokes that terrorises the listeners now.
What do you mean?
They don't terrorise him. He terrorises them.
What are you talking about?
Well, what are you doing engaging with poor old Leewee?
Because he's a listener, and I thought, well, to let him know that we get his messages, I will converse with him. And he's sending stuff. He's become our contributor. Anyhow, he said, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss Enterprises have now withdrawn a lot of their literature and books from the market. Cat in the Hat.
That
is considered politically incorrect.
Why?
That's a very good question. So
because a cat refers to something else, doesn't it?
No.
No, what?
Just talking about the mini version.
No, we're not. The cat's revered. What, you're a cat?
Yes.
Meaning you're a fancy Dan?
Yes.
No, that's not why it gets... I looked up Cat in the Hat and I couldn't see why that was politically incorrect. And then, so Barber the Elephant... Barber the Elephant has bitten the dust because... Right. Oh, I'm glad you asked, because says... "It's Barber the Elephant is a celebration of colonialism where Barber leaves the jungle and returns with some of his fellow animals to the... I don't know why he went over to probably America, got some of his fellow animals and went back to Africa.
Imperialism.
Colonialism. Curious George. That Curious George.
They want us all to be daft.
What?
Because they want the world to be daft and not ask questions.
No, that's a white man brings a monkey back from Africa to America.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, mate, please, exactly. What is wrong with that? Zoos have been doing it for years. But that's a kid's book, so the Curious George has bitten the dust.
What about the other one I sent you?
What, you can't say that out loud?
No, the other
you
one
want me to say it out loud?
Potato Head.
Yeah, but we did Potato Head.
No, you haven't.
No, you haven't.
Mr. Potato Head.
No, we haven't.
Last week.
No, I only sent it to you a couple of days ago.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You're going ready.
I put it on Instagram.
I know that. We don't
I said
we don't. Don and I'm not into bloody Instagram. Tell me about Potato Head.
I tell you what I put on Instagram. I said... because they've now just not calling him Mister, he's just called Potato Head. And I put on Instagram, I said, I never ever knew Mr. Potato Head had a dick. And as the non-birthing vegetable, we've had to call him just Potato.
Non-gestational.
No, non-birthing. He's Mr. The non-birthing parent is the non-birthing parent is now your father.
Excuse
Don.
Me, I got confused by it all.
Yeah, so I put that on. So they've Yeah, Mr. Potato Head, they've had to... Did you know he had a penis, Mr. Potato Head?
He's got four eyes. A potato has four eyes.
That's true.
Do you have more?
Yeah.
They could have more. Yeah. They could have more, and you cut them up into those. As long as you've got an eye, you can transplant them and they'll produce more potatoes.
You've got three eyes.
Where's the third one?
Don. Now, so Don. So then they couldn't help in America. They couldn't help turning it into a political discussion. So a librarian in the United States has criticized Melania Trump, that's the ex-first lady, because she gave a gift of 10 Zeus books to a library. And they said that's a shocking thing to do. She shouldn't have bequeathed 10 Zeus books to the library. So they've belted her for it. It's extraordinary.
Where do you find all this stuff out?
Mr. Leewee from Sweden.
Is he creditable?
Well, you only have to Google it, Don. Rocket, all that's in the...
No one cares.
Well...
Johnny does.
So that's a very good point. No one cares. So how does it get out into the ether?
Because you listen to Mr. Leewee.
No, this is all over the news if you've...
It's not. This is news to me.
It's all over the news, mate.
There's a bit in the news at the moment, but I don't think Dr. Zeus books are making it.
On the contrary, this is leading the narrative. I'll show you, if I can do this. I'll show you while I've just...
What about Melania being well-dressed on? You still...
Oh, yeah, she is exceptionally well-dressed. Whether she does it herself or has a stylist, I think she'd have to have a stylist, wouldn't she?
Of course she would. You said she's one of the great first ladies on that basis. Oh.
Joe, she's up there with Jackie Kennedy or Jackie Onassis.
Onassis. Yeah, osmosis. I'm just trying to find you this here. Dr. Zeus. That is huge news over in the States. Dr. Zeus, that's consuming. I notice Joe Biden, they've...
Geez, you're starting to rip into that poor fellow.
Who is?
Well, I watch YouTube. Yeah, a lady from New York, I don't know who she is, but she was on there just recently in the last week. God, she gave him a serve.
Because he is a senile, man who has just got no idea of what's going on.
I feel for the man.
And you do? Mm. I tell you what, he's the most bogus, insincere person. And do you know what they've done? First time ever, they've stopped him. They have removed the power for him to have his hand on the nuclear button. Did you know that? A president of the United States can call a nuclear strike on anyone and they ring him, and you have to ring on three different phones and give a code number, and they've said, no, Joe.
Is this on social media? That is
they
funny.
Said, no, they've, this is news. They've said, we're not giving you the power to put your finger on the button, because you might just think it's opening your garage door by mistake and you press it and blow up half the world, because he's
unlike Trump. Hey, did you know Dr. Zeus is the second highest earning dead celebrity?
Yeah, I did.
Do you know who number one is?
Ina Blyden.
Ina
Blyden.
The kiddie fiddler. Listen to me.
Well, I don't know why I laugh.
Listen to me. I know that because I researched the topic I'm speaking about. You said, who cares about Dr. Zeus? That is consuming the North American news at the minute. Don't worry about unemployment or illegal immigrants or North Korea or Iran. This is consuming the world at the moment.
Can I bring up a topic that's consuming my world?
Please.
Well, the people in my world. Is Melissa Caddick.
First off, could I ask you, who's the number one earning author?
He told you.
Who?
No, I didn't.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I did. Who?
Michael Jackson.
Author?
No, celebrity.
Dead celebrity. So Dr. Zeus is
bigger than Elvis.
I was just going to say, I don't reckon anyone's bigger than Elvis. Elvis has been dead for 40-odd years, hasn't he? Mm. I would say his estate still in 40 years after his death would be huge, because he was the biggest star of entertainment ever.
Well, speaking of dead people and money, Melissa Caddick, Donald.
And who is she?
The woman who ran off with $20-odd million in Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
And her foot
yeah.
turned up on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. You well, why are you? This is sad.
I don't think she's dead.
What a foot. Oh, you're good for you. You're a ripper with conspiracy theories. What's
that word, Don?
Conspiracy theories.
That's better.
That's better than the first.
Oh, thanks, Johnny.
Well, you lisped the first. You said conspiracy theory.
I reckon, don't you reckon if you've got 20-odd million, you're going to take something off, you'd whip your foot off, throw it in the bay, everyone goes, oh, well, she's dead now, we'll stop looking for her.
Mm.
And now she's on the hop.
Except when you go to a dance and you're limping in there because you've cut your foot off and you've got a wooden
clog. You think she's cut her foot off and thrown it in the water? Oh, you.
Would you?
Jeez, I ought to let some of your other theories go on air too, but they're too embarrassing.
What are they? Give us a hint.
No, I won't.
Did you just know Google? You know who Google are?
Yeah.
Google have removed the egg out of the salad, the emoji salad, to please vegans. So you can – do you know what an emoji is? Mm. It's a thing that you press on the – you know, it's a little – if you play golf, it's a picture of a green with a flag in it or
– where do you get all this shit from?
Google have taken the egg out of the salad to please vegans. Because they say, oh, no, that's you might be offending vegans who don't eat eggs, so we won't put that in our Caesar salad emoji. Can you believe that? And here's another interesting thing I found. Do you know who Stefani Joanne Angelina Germanotta is? Stefani Joanne Angelina Germanotta. Do you know who she is? She's Lady Gaga. That's her name. And Lady Gaga, her dog walker walking French bulldogs, two French bulldogs, a man employed to walk her dogs, was shot several times in the chest and they stole her dogs. And Lady Germanotta, Stefani Joanna Angelina Germanotta, Lady Gaga, leapt right into action. She posted a $500,000 reward for, you would think, Don, to find the man who shot the dog handler. No, bullshit, to get the fucking dogs back. A reward to get the dogs back. Don't worry about the dog handler who's in life support in the Caesars of Lebanon Hospital. She just wants her dogs back. That was big news, Don, besides Joe not being allowed to put his hand on the nuclear button. Are you following what's going on in this world?
We've just got different sources.
She took her dogs to a dog show. This was on the social media too. I think it was on MTV. It might not have been on MTV. She took her dogs to the dog show and the handler also had dogs. And the handler said to her at the dog show, how did your dog go, Lady Gaga or Angelina Germanotta, whatever her name is? And she said, well, my dogs, one of them had... three firsts at the dog show, 2 seconds, and was highly recommended. And she said, how did your dog go with that scruffy little sort of fucking Scotch Terrier? He said, yes, pretty well. He had 4 fights, 5 fucks, and was highly delighted. So it just shows you, when you go to a dog show, Don, sometimes you can get the blue riband event as opposed to the blue ribbon event. No such thing as blue ribbon event. It's blue. It's blue riband.
No, it's not. It's
please. It's blue riband. Blue riband event.
How do you spell it?
Riband. R I B A N D.
It's a ribbon. It's a ribbon.
Okay. It's not ribbon, Don.
It's a blue ribbon.
Well, it's been. Bastard, it's been just gone into common usage, but it's blue riband.
It's not. It's blue ribbon.
Bullshit. It's progressed into common usage now for the uneducated.
Blue riband, right? I'm reading this as I go. I don't know. I could be wrong, could be right here. The blue riband is an unofficial accolade given to the passenger liner crossing the Atlantic Ocean in regular service with the record highest speed.
That's right. That's where it comes from. It's a record. It's a first prize.
The term was borrowed from horse racing and was not widely used until after 1910.
No, don't go no further, Rocket.
You, I don't even know what I just said.
Well, what you said is it's for first prize. The steamer that went across the Atlantic was given a blue ribbon award because it was first. That's what blue ribbon means. But it's lapsed into just morphed into common usage, Donald. That's what it has. So, lady,
hang on.
Oh no!
See, this takes me back 40 years. This takes me back 40 odd years, 50 years.
All right, Q&A. Blue ribbon or blue riband, right? It's the Australian Writers' Centre. Okay, hi. Is it a question? No, they're saying blue ribbon.
Oh, mate, your ears painted on. Did you hear what I said? It has now been bastardised. It has just morphed down into common usage. It comes from blue riband, all right? That's what it comes from.
You know
from.
When you win a ribbon...
Yes.
Hang on, I'm asking a question now.
No, I know what you're going to say.
Is the blue ribbon the number one ribbon, though,
yes,
always?
It is.
Well, that makes sense, too.
Because they made it blue to fit into blue riband, and then people saw, oh, that's a ribbon, and that's just how it morphed into common usage.
Oh. Don, you just give up. Don't argue with
him. That's not
up.
Arguing. You're that's just not it. Arguing. Listen,
I was driving the other day. Can we change the subject? And what passed
just
my
bring
mind?
Up a subject.
What? It's very hard to get in this.
Well, morning. Bring it up you're now. On, it's claws yours,
you're
Donald.
On a roll. I was driving back from Sorrento, and on the left-hand side, just before you get to Blair Gowrie, is a cairn.
A what?
A memorial, a cairn.
Yes, a cairn. A cairn.
Can.
A C-A-I-R-N.
What's that?
It's a monument.
A monument.
Stone monument.
And
it's a cairn.
Right, I hope.
Well, not a can. You thought he was someone sitting on the shit house or something. Go on. Go on.
And I just wondered when I read the can and the memorial plaque, I read the memorial plaque. I just wondered, had they have found water at Sorrento, would we be sitting here today? Because Melbourne would be centred down on the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? What happened was this settlement came in.
Two questions arise from
well,
your
the convicts
statement,
Don. And whatever else came Two. In and they settled Victoria down there in 1803. And the only reason they moved was lack of fertility in the land and lack of water. Had they have realised that only 10 foot under the sand was water, they would have stayed there.
Two and things spring to mind on as you bring this topic up. Could I get this clear? You were driving down a road.
No, it's on the highway.
So
it's
you were
Settlers
driving
Cove
down a
Collins.
Highway.
It's called Collins Cove now.
So
we
you were driving down
Settlers
a
Cove.
Highway and you saw a cairn and you stopped to get out to read what was on it.
Yes, on the way back from
Just
Sorrento.
Deliberately, purposely stopped,
That's right.
not for any other reason.
That's right, there it is.
She's on another big day bit in the dust on. Just going around well, reading cairns on the side of roads?
No, it was just this particular one. Don't you ever stop and have a look and
Never.
Wonder why
Not
it's
unless
there.
I've stopped there for a reason to have a piss or something.
But
or
the whole Melbourne, the demographic centre of Melbourne, may have been down there.
Yeah, may have been, Don. And do you ever wonder how
Do you realise William Buckley was an escaped convict? He was on the boat. Do you remember, you wouldn't know William Buckley?
Wouldn't I?
He
Is
escaped.
That a question?
He was a convict who escaped and lived with the Aboriginals.
Bill Buckley.
Well done. And he lived with the Aboriginals for 30 years and wandered Port Phillip Bay. That's where they got the Buckley's chance.
Yeah, Buckley and Nunn.
But no. That's a play on because Buckley and Nunn was a store in Melbourne, Buckley's.
I know that. Don.
But it was originally Buckley's chance. They give you no chance. You it came from the fact of William Buckley escaping and living with the Aboriginals.
We've got two people in sitting watching this. They've Paul, Ivan Milat from
Milat.
Last week, and Billy, Billy Bradley.
Bradley.
Billy Bradley from X Triple M in Shepparton.
What do you mean X Triple M?
Because he's moving to Canberra, Don.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's moving up there in a managerial role. I said, he said, could I come in just because he's down here? Because I was out at the winery. He was at the winery where I spoke.
Oh, yes. What was that like?
Hang on just a minute. Billy will speak in a minute because we're going to ask him about Michael Gudinski in a minute.
Is this the one where you had the tours you were taking people
around? No, don't. I want your version first.
Is this the tour?
Where he had three people come along.
So
three?
So Don.
Three turned up.
Three?
Yeah.
Three people. It was heavily advertised.
Billy was one of them.
Who was the other? The cat and the dog.
Billy's
cat
family.
And the hat. Now, Don.
Billy brought some mates.
But how did it go? Did you talk about the different varieties of grapes?
Just a minute, Don. We'll cover that in a minute. I wanted to finish on you looking. Do you know how coincidental it is, Don, that all the monuments and all the cairns are on the side of highways? How when they built them, how'd they know a highway was going to be built to go alongside the cairn or the stone monument?
That's not funny.
Oh, Jesus.
That is. It's extraordinary how they're all on the sides of roads.
Well, do you think the cairns have been just recently erected in the last 10, 20 years on the side of the road?
It's not. Don't worry about it, Don. Funny. Don't worry about it.
It is funny. It is.
Go back to the – we want to know about the wine tour. What did you tell people?
Well,
how to grow grapes?
Did you spit?
Spit.
Well, roll it around in your mouth and into a spittoon.
Which vineyard?
Which brings me?
We want to know the vineyard.
Which brings me?
Where was the vineyard?
It was in Diamond Valley or something.
Diamond Creek.
I don't know.
Stockman's Wines.
He rang me Saturday morning. He goes, "Now, mate, I don't know what you're doing.
That's right.
I've got the wine thing on today. Do you want to come?" And I just laughed at him.
Yeah, do you know why I rang him?
Well, you at least when you ring him, there's a conversation. There's no conversation when I ring.
How does it go when you?
I'll see you, John. Oh no, there's no. When you say goodbye, down goes the phone. That's your greeting. How are you? And see you, John.
Yeah, sorry.
So
I'll tell you, how does it go when you ring Don?
I'll tell you why I ring the rocket.
No, hang on, tell us about when you ring
Don. Shut up.
I'll tell you
why I ring the rocket.
Well, because you're worried about his welfare. He's 44 years old and he is just about ready to blow his brains out, and you being the person you are, very considerate of others.
A term like that, Don.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that.
But he is.
What?
No.
There's people out there that really do feel like that.
What?
He feels like it.
Oh, so we're going to be politically...
No, Don. Don, you're very, very accurate in what you say. Mike Sheeney...
Turn it up.
Don, I'm speaking to you. You listening?
Speaking about me.
We spoke about you at lunch last week too.
Here goes the phone. Here we go. Who's this? Who is it?
It's Merv Cain.
We'll give him an answer. Answer him.
Ask him about the draft.
Put on speakerphone.
Merv.
G'day, Donny. Everything all right, mate?
Don't swear. Good, you're on air.
You're on air, Merv.
G'day, Tony. G'day,
Tony.
And,
Sam.
Who else you got there?
Sam. Sam Newman.
Don, put it in the phone.
Sam, how are you? Good, you're right. We're doing the podcast and you're coming through the microphone to be listened to later. What do you want, Merv?
Oh, sorry, I rang up for something, didn't I? Yes. what was I going to say? I just ran into the fly, Donny.
Oh, the social butterfly.
And Sam, yeah, Louis the fly.
Did you have your tissues with you?
Why do I need them?
To wipe the shit off your face when he finished talking to you.
Merv, who is the fly? What did he say, quickly?
You know, Russell Morris, played for the
Yep.
Oh, hang on.
The real thing.
Horrible what you just said.
Yeah, Russell Morris, the real thing.
That was all. And then I was
going to
say,
Mel
Gibson played for the Hawks and the Suns.
Yep.
And I've got Pete Frank. I've been speaking to Pete Francis. Because he lives down your way.
Oh, from Carlton.
Yeah, and I'll get him to...
Anyhow, look, we'll continue this while Don has a private conversation with Merv. Now, I'll tell you something else,
Merv,
that's going on.
All right, mate. All the best. I'll speak later.
Bye.
There you go.
mate. He wasn't going to speak to you about that subject. He had something else to speak to you about. And when he realised he was going on the public airwaves, he changed that topic completely. I reckon he was going to let something go that probably we shouldn't have put to air. Don, do you think, here's a question without notice. Do you think health warnings on cigarette packets have deterred anyone from smoking?
Yes.
Do you?
And I also think putting them behind cupboards or cupboards that are closed, it's you can't see the cigarette, deterred people from smoking.
Do you?
Have, but there's still a few people that
this
do.
This is not a loaded question. I genuinely am saying if you're a smoker, whether it's got pictures of people's decayed teeth and lungs and people with tubes up their noses, do you think that would stop people who smoke from buying cigarettes? That's all I'm asking.
Well, it doesn't deter the people that do smoke because I have actually asked them, look at that picture on your
my point.
And they just turn a blind eye to the...
So you think it stops young people from starting smoking, do you?
Well, I really don't think many young people smoke. Not as many as what they used to in our day.
And do you think it's because they've put
I don't think it's socially
pictures.
Acceptable.
So do you think it's... my point is, I can understand the advertisements and the billboards and people on luxury yachts smoking Benson and Hedges and the passport to smoking pleasure, Kent and all that stuff. I can understand.
Kent?
Kent was the international passport. And that was Peter Stuyvesant. Kent.
What
was
Marlborough, the bloke on the horse,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, bloke on the horse. So that's my
Rothmans.
Point.
Rothmans.
Rothmans, yes, I know.
Craven A. They never vary.
Yep,
remember their slogan, Craven A, they never vary.
Yeah, I do remember that, Don. So all that advertising, I can understand. But I don't think putting pictures of people in various stages of decay on cigarette packets deters anyone from smoking. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that. Do you?
I think it's good. I think what they're doing is good.
So if you're a young, coming out of school, young teenager and...
Well, know, I'd look twice if I...
You'd
twice.
Say, someone says, do you want a cigarette? Said, oh, no, I've just seen on the packet there someone with a lung missing.
And their teeth. And all,
yeah, I don't think I'll have one. That's my opinion. Which is another opinion. Do you think, is it, you'll love this. If you were listening to an orchestra, an orchestra, playing a piece of operatic music or a symphony, audio-wise, would you be able to tell if the orchestra was playing with a conductor or without a conductor? Do you think the conductor in an orchestra is paramount or tantamount to its success?
Well, I don't think we can answer that because we're not musicians. You'd have to ask a musician.
I'm asking you as
a
listener.
No. I couldn't talk. I cannot comment because I'm not a musician. So
you're a listener. If you were listening to an orchestra, could you tell the difference between a piece of music being played with a conductor conducting it or the orchestra just doing it off the top of their head, if they knew the piece of music?
I've answered your question.
How could you tell?
How would you tell?
No, but how would you? That's a stupid. Like, don't they all have conductors? How would you know there is or isn't one?
That's my point.
But wouldn't you ask?
Conductors are window dressing, and they're part of the show, and they're part of the extravagance.
I don't think they're window dressing. They control. In rehearsal, they're looking for something.
Correct.
And they stop the orchestra and said, we'll do
extremely
this.
Extremely talented.
Righto. So I think they play a part, but you'd have to ask a musician.
No, the musician would say that they are of paramount importance because they sort of tell you when to come in. I'm saying if you knew the music perfectly yourself and you had a 100-piece orchestra, I would bet that no one could tell the difference if they listened to a symphony orchestra playing with or without a conductor. They could tell the difference. I think it's a bit of showmanship, a conductor. What we're going to try and do is get a conductor on, who probably, having listened to this, won't come on.
Maybe we shouldn't get a conductor. Maybe we should, as Don's saying, get a musician on, because a conductor's going to tell us that he's absolutely required.
Maybe we should ask a musician whether they're required. If you want to get to the
yes,
answer.
Yes, because they would all say that they are of vital importance. And I'm not disputing that for their sake. I'm saying if they knew the music well and they played
so
it, you would not tell the difference whether it was being conducted by someone or they were doing it alone.
You shouldn't tell that they're... By definition, you shouldn't know that they're there, should you? They're conducting. They're not actually contributing.
Well, they're not contributing. That's the point. What are they contributing?
Well, you don't hear them.
But of course they're contributing because you say they bring them in and they give the rhythm and the meter, the cadence of the orchestra. I'm saying you couldn't tell the difference if you were listening.
Could I? This is boring me. Can I ask you just one question? Could I ask you one question? It's Wednesday morning, and last night on the news, and I looked for the papers this morning, we've got a state of emergency in Victoria, or it's been extended until Christmas. Now, the crossbenches...
Is it?
Yes, this is news last night. Now,
it's
I looked
state
at the
of
papers
emergency, what, with the COVID?
Yes, they've been off... You know, state of emergency has been extended... Until Christmas. Now...
Has it, Paul? Yes. Ivan says it has.
Yeah. And it just...
Well, you don't believe, Don.
Oh, shit. Can I finish it? Can I listen to question? You.
Yep.
I've been through the papers this morning.
When did you?
This morning.
That's what you did.
And I would like to know what the deal was that was done with the crossbenches. There was a little bit last night on the news... about not closing down regional areas if they have another lockdown. What other deals were done? Surely there were other deals done, because when they got the state of emergency last year, you know, each of them asked for particular things politically. I think the chap from Warrnambool, he's a animal liberationist, did something or asked something about whips or something along that line with regard to horse racing. But I just wonder if there's more to it, and why isn't it reported? You know, we as voters or the community should know what is going on.
Well, Don, I think that Parliament has almost become irrelevant in this state. I think Dan...
Well, it does.
Dan
Sorry,
Andrews,
John. It does with a state of emergency.
Dan Andrews and Lindsay Fox are running the state, just by all accounts. Dan is going to Lindsay for guidance and succour and comfort... as to what's going on, and Lindsay says Dan's doing a great job, and Dan says yes, thank you, Lindsay. Why don't you come down to Avalon and put all these places in at the property you own down? I think they're running the state.
No, anyway, it's far more serious than that, and I think that a state of emergency for 12 months it does give him absolute power or control.
That's what it's about, isn't it?
I understand but I would like to know why these what deals the crossbenchers got, the three in the upper house.
You'd like to know what deals they got. It's a
well,
quid,
it should be reported. We should be told. There's
quid pro quo thing. I'll vote for you if you do this for us.
Well, that's what happened last time.
Do you know what that's called? Corruption. And the whole world... is based on corruption, Donald. No one ever says it as it is, or only people have an ulterior motive for doing things, and that's whether it pleases them personally or them collectively.
Do you know over the last lockdown...
Yes, thank
now
you,
where's
Sam.
The, just hang on, I just want to go on a bit further with this. Where's the Rich River? You played golf. Where's the Rich River?
Up in...
is it near Moama, Echuca?
Well, to answer your question, but you've answered it yourself.
Is it up
yes.
there? Well, they had a function, the local trade, because, you know, the last lockdown for that weekend, it was Valentine's Day weekend. Now, the people, when the lockdown happened, you know, it's a tourist town, it's a tourist destination up there. As soon as it was announced, the place was deserted on Friday. They had to get back over the border, so the whole place was locked down. The people or the traders rely on tourism. Now, I just ask, or you've got to acknowledge the... generosity of sports people, because they had a function there last week and a lot of top Victorian people went up there, you know, sporting identities, put on a show for them. And why
what sort
have
of show?
A sportsman's show, a golf day, whatever else.
Oh, yep.
And they raised $45,000. Now, why has the local community got to raise this money? It's for advertising to bring people back.
Mm-hmm.
As when the government actually closes them down and forces them to lose money. Isn't it the government's responsibility to
help compensate
well,
for the
fact... Well, they said they were going to acknowledge and compensate businesses that were locked down over that period, that weekend or 5 days.
You don't tell me they've broken a promise that they gave, have you? Well, you wouldn't think a government would break a promise, would you?
But these sportsmen went up and did not charge at all for their services, played in the golf game, provided the entertainment for the night, and as I said, they raised $45,000 for advertising to get the place up and going again. And they can do it, you know, the community can do it to get the rest of the community up, but the government just closes down, does not compensate or consider. I think there's something wrong there.
All right. Well, good. That's good. Good discussion, that, Don.
Well, no, it's no discussion because you just sit there. And Rod's sitting with his hand on his jaw.
Rod's still pissed off that we said that he sits at home doing fuck all and I just asked him to come out on trips with me. He's wondering how he can fucking go smack at us.
Do you think so?
Wait till we turn the mic off. Now, Rod, Rocket.
What?
Come in. Come in over. 3X, CX4 to control, CX4 to control. Come in. This is Hop Harrigan. Hop Harrigan, remember Hop Harrigan?
Yeah, Hop Harrigan. What was he on the morning? No, he was at night, wasn't he?
No, in the morning. The Adventures of Hop Harrigan.
No, Biggles was morning.
He might have been.
Ginger was his sidekick.
Hello, this is Hop Harrigan. Come in. CX4 to control. Tank Tinker. Come in. Remember Tank Tinker Rocket?
I used to cry.
I've got no idea who that is.
These are cereals, Rocket.
Come on, become involved, Rocket.
That used to be on the radio. And you'd listen to Dad and Dave.
Righto, we're winding this
up. Hop Harrigan, Captain Silver and the Bloodhound.
We're not winding this up. Rocket's.
We've gone for too long.
Here's the thing that's ticking me off. Go into a supermarket, any food store now. How many racks of meat substitute items to buy? They're just substituting everything for meat.
Well, meat is very... I told you 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, meat is very, very expensive. So is lamb at the moment.
I don't care how expensive
it is. People can't afford to eat.
So the supermarkets are being massaged by people who say
shouldn't
eat meat.
Johnny.
Meat substitute.
You cannot buy what the butchers are competing against are the farmers who are restocking after the drought.
There's a lot of meat substitute products in supermarkets.
And there's a lot of chicken on the shelves too. You obviously don't go and do your shopping, so you wouldn't realise this.
Chicken?
Chicken on the shelves. Various chicken dishes. So the price of meat is astronomical. Beg your pardon?
Sam went through a chicken town. He was all fascinated the other day.
I was.
A chicken town?
I did. It looked like a little city of its own. I went down to Somerville, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I thought, holy mackerel, there's a whole new shopping centre. It was Ingham's Chickens. Ingham's.
Yeah, that's right. I know.
Huge.
Yes.
It's money. What did you know there was that money in chickens?
Yeah, they're big Ingham's.
And do you know who the late Mr. Ingham?
Bill.
Bill Ingham. Do you know who he... I didn't get
No, I was wrong. It's Steggles. Doesn't it? Matter though.
So what were you two out driving?
No, he just rings me on the way because he's worried about me.
Steggles it is. Well, whoever owns Steggles, do you know who they sponsor? I didn't get the hyperbole. I didn't get the
connection.
Connection. Steggles, the man who owns Steggles, is the major sponsor of what rugby league club?
The Roosters.
The Roosters! Because they're chickens and they're roosters and all that. I thought, how clever. That's a clever bit of marketing, isn't it? Hey, it's like the Weather Bureau sponsoring the storm.
Well, Ingham's were really big
not
into...
Not bad. Are you happy with that, sir? Off the top of his head.
That's another overrated institution. Conductors, cigarette packet warnings and the Weather Bureau. How hard would it be to predict the weather? Don, take your bald head out and put it in towards the sky.
I'm just thinking because I live by, yeah.
Well, it's not true.
You don't think they're overrated?
The Weather Bureau?
Yeah. What about the directions when you take off in a plane and the pilot comes over the intercom and says, Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking off on the east of the runway and we're going to make a right-hand turn and go over Broken Hill. Who gives a fuck what we're doing? Just shut up and let us listen to the film that's on. And then they interrupt it. They say, oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just if I could have your attention, if you don't want to get deep vein thrombosis, why don't you wiggle your toes around? Shut up. We're listening to the film. And then they say, oh, by the way, if you've got any loose change, if we could just interrupt, ladies and gentlemen, if we've got any loose change, could you give it to UNICEF and just put your small, there'll be little envelopes coming around. And you think, holy mackerel, it's taken me 4 hours to watch a 1.5 hour movie. What about all the interruptions in the plane?
Can I ask a serious question? Should the minister accused of rape stand down?
So you think he's guilty before
No, that's why we can't do that. No, obviously we can't do
that. I'd like to pose another question, just going on a little bit further. What do you think about trial by media?
No, but you understand what I'm saying. I absolutely believe in presumption of innocence.
Well, I think it's trial by media.
I think you're right, Don.
But don't you think it becomes impossible to do his job now, regardless? The world's not fair, we know that.
Well, it's whether you just want to. It's whether you want to.
Shocking situation, isn't it?
It's whether you want to have the courage of your conviction and say, no, you're guilty. You're not guilty. You're innocent until proved guilty. Or you want to reverse it and say, well, you're guilty. Could you prove your innocence, please?
But that's the case with lots of people that get charged every day. Well, that's the whole point of the court process, isn't it? There are lots of people who go to court that are innocent and they've got to go through that.
Well, he has denied it, I presume.
Yep.
And she, if it's a woman, is it?
Yep.
She has...
No. She's no longer with us.
What's that?
She is no longer with us.
Oh, that case, yes. I thought you were talking in general. So, all right. So...
I mean, why should... Oh, I don't know. It's complex, isn't it?
Well, it is complex.
The people that are pushing it, don't they realise that it can't go anywhere on a practical sense? I'm not saying which way or the other, but
they
if you want to go on with it,
they obviously believe it, right? They've read all the stuff and they've read the diary entries and what, so they believe it. Okay, you're going to get that. There are lots of people out there that think that it's true.
Yes.
So therefore, they want justice for the woman who's passed.
Yes.
So that's where they're coming from. But I think he probably needs. Does he need to step down and just prove that it's not true?
Well, it's a bit like, do you remember someone called Brett Kavanaugh in the States?
Yeah.
Who stood for...
Remind me of what happened.
He stood for the Supreme Court of America.
That's right.
And he was a Trump nominee.
Mm-hmm.
And the left railed up against him and told absolute, a monumental and extraordinary lies about him. Not one of them was true, but they tried to railroad him out of the process because he was a Trump nominee. Now, he was accused of everything from standing around date raping people outside a water fountain at a function. It was complete lies. They just used every device to try and discredit this man. And in the end, he was found guilty, not found guilty. He didn't do any of the things that he was accused of, and he's now on the Supreme Court of America bench. But that was a Trump nominee, and they just did everything they could to discredit him. So where does that start and end? You say that people believe what the woman has said. Everyone believed what the evidence, no evidence, what everyone believed what the naysayers said about Brett Kavanaugh, but not one of them, not one bit of it was true.
Yeah, but anybody that gets charged that's innocent has to go through a court regardless. The world's not fair. Yes. You can't just say, oh, I'm innocent, so I don't have to go through this.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying maybe he needs to just step down and prove it and then get on with his life like people who go to court do.
And talking about that, just going on a little bit further, has anybody heard of Linda Reynolds since she's...
She's in hospital.
Down. Is she still in hospital?
I don't know about that. By the time we finish this, everybody will know, if they don't already, everybody will know who we're talking about because the person's going to have a press conference this morning.
Mm.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens there, that's all. It's just, you know.
All right. Well, Don,
so do you think, can I ask another question?
Yes, all right. No, we will. Now, So Don, we'll what we did. This forum here reached out to Michael Gudinski, and we had could read all the text out. We had a series of questions that we wanted Michael to come in here and have a chat to us about his great entrepreneurial skills at putting Australian entertainment. And we had a back and forth, and he said he'd come in, and then he said he had a shoulder operation, couldn't come in on the day that we wanted him to come in, and so we kept liaising, and he said he was fond of you, Don, because you liked your music, and he said, as long as we don't talk about politics, I could read all the text out, but I thought one of the people who is sitting in here with us is Billy Bradley from Triple M Shepparton. He said he's spoken to him at least a dozen times over the course of because he's plays music, and that's what Michael Gudinski. So, Billy, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. Sorry, Ivan, we can't get you on unless you can come up with something that might interest us.
Is it true you died with a nappy on? I read that yesterday about Ivan Milat.
So this is Billy Bradley. Billy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Sam. Don.
Now, just tell us
listen to the professional voice here, hey?
Yeah, that's right. This is how you speak to the microphone,
Don.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
This is how you speak to the microphone.
That's my impression of Dennis Cometti.
Well, yes, thank you very much for having me.
So Billy said, could he come in and listen to this? Because I've spoken to him a couple of times on Triple M up in Shepparton. Most of it he can't put to air. I said, if you want to see the most eccentric man on the planet, I said, swing by the studio here where we are and have a look at old RoboCop over here go through the motions. You won't believe it. And he's sat back there. He can't believe it. So, Billy, don't worry about Don. Why did you speak to Michael Gudinski, and what did you speak to him about? And how he said he was quite fond of you, I think he said.
He was a brilliant man, and I was fortunate to speak with him on a couple of occasions about the projects that he had going. He was doing some shows on the ABC, I think, called The Sound. And he was very, very generous with his time. And he was a giant of the industry. And he always gave me as much time as I wanted. And what he did for Australian music is unparalleled.
So what did you speak to him about? Upcoming artists?
The Sound, for example, which is a... I watched it, happened to stumble across it when I was at Channel Flicking last year. And it was a great show and unearthed some terrific talent, Australian talent, which... otherwise, I don't think would have been recognised.
That's what he was very well known for. He obviously had a lot to do with bringing in the big bands and promoting big acts, but he was always about uncovering new Australian talent.
Speaking in the microphone, Bill.
Sorry. New Australian talent. And he was...
Don't tell
Don't, don't fall funny, into
I'm
him.
Taking a piss, though.
Yeah, he's taking the piss, Don. And, he's trying to get back at everyone who's had a crack at him today.
This is how he used to operate at Fox Sport. He was an arse. Go, Billy.
So he was all about uncovering new talent and promoting them, and that's what The Sound was. And there was no one else doing it to the degree he did. He put all his effort and time into that, particularly later on with The Sound. And
it's interesting. What fascinates me, there's an businessman, an entrepreneur, yet he is connected with the ABC. I wonder what the kickback is there.
I don't know. That's a very good question. He was tied with all networks. He did projects with them all. Through Mushroom. I don't know the answer to that, Don.
Yeah, well, you think he's politically motivated not to go onto the ABC?
It might be the art station traditionally.
That's an arts music station.
That Sound would not work on a commercial outlet.
I agree.
ABC,
maybe he was ubiquitous, Donald. Ubiquitous. Sorry, that's like Blue Riband. That's got you stumped.
You've been shit today, Sam.
Oh, what's that?
You've been shit today.
Only because...
Billy, tell us about the wine tour. How'd that go?
It was good. It was great.
So Sam, what did you... did you just front up there?
Yeah.
Is it because Sam was desperate? He said, mate, do you want to come down? I'll sell you a couple
of... Have a listen to the rocket. The rocket's going to chisel away, chip away.
I'm not defending... Sam or anything here, but my parents asked me, what do you want for your birthday? It's my birthday's next week.
No, you're joking.
I'm easily pleased to you.
I'm pretty easily pleased.
Hang on, he hasn't finished yet. He said, I want a Lamborghini for a start. And they said, well, you can't have one. He said, well, look, I'll settle for going down to the Rockford. What are they called? The Stockman's Wine.
Stockman Wines. And they said, what do you want? And I said, well, I like wine. I like my reds. And I enjoy Sam and, of course, you as well.
Oh, Don. No, I'm setting a fiddle.
Yep. And I said it would be nice to be in a room and hear some stories uncut. And that's what Sam delivered.
What, just to you? You're the only...
No, it was a full room.
Sorry about that.
15 people there or something?
They advertised for 10 and they got 50% over the quota. They couldn't cater for any more. It was an informal discussion and I did say, I don't want to preach to the converted. If you disagree with me or don't like me, please tell me, I can handle it. And I had a couple of inquiries as to why I did things, and we speak about things.
What? Seriously, what?
He roasted this woman that tried to give him grief, which I thought was very funny.
Oh, tell us what happened.
I'm not worried about you saying it. I'm just trying to think of what woman I roasted.
You told the story about that incident. Oh, where you got punched through the security.
Oh, that's right.
And she said, "Oh, you deserved it."
Now that's
Sam
right.
Sam paused and said, "I deserved it, did I?" And then you went into your
Right. Quite right.
Is this by the plumber?
Yeah, and she said, "I deserved."
Well, you were on with his girlfriend.
Well, so that's what she thought, and indirectly I was, but directly I didn't know that. I was set up. I told her that, and I told her the story, and I said, now, do you think I deserve that? And she said, no, probably not.
Have you done something to your face this week?
This week?
I'm just looking.
This is like the Wedge-Tailed Eagle, Don. We were talking about the wine tour.
I just
tour.
Happened to look. You haven't Botoxed it, have you?
Me, personally, Botoxed my face.
Well, somebody else.
No, I haven't,
Don. You haven't touched your face up since last week.
No, I have not. I can rest my hand on my heart.
What do you think, Ivan?
Same as last week.
I can say he looks the same as last week. I could swear on my kids' life. I've got 3 kids, 1 of each. I could swear on their life.
What? Yeah,
that's a politically incorrect joke. I haven't done anything to my face this week, Don.
Sorry.
The wine tour, I'd had nothing to do with the tour. I'm not sure what they did there. I think they examined the content and the makeup of wines and various varietal grapes and all that sort of stuff, Don. But I wasn't there for that reason. I was just there to have a chat.
And you drove all the way from Shepparton, Bill?
Yeah, it was about 2 hours, so it wasn't too far.
It's as far as you drive to come up here to do this. So why is that extraordinary?
It's a long way to go to listen to you.
You come up every week to listen to me.
I thought Don may have come. That would have been...
Why didn't you?
You must be joking.
So Billy, I asked the Rocket, just would he like to come up?
Here we go.
I asked the Rocket to come up. I didn't want him to come and listen to me. I said, oh, yes, come and listen to me speak, Rod, please. I just thought... No, come up in the old car and just have a look around. You've not been to these areas before, and maybe you could wander out into the atmosphere and look at the grapes.
He's more impacted by what I said than the other way around.
What do you
mean? Yeah, no, because I said, you want to come up to, I've got to speak at this thing, do you want to come? And he went, you'd be joking, wouldn't you? I said, well, I'm not really joking, Rod. I don't want you to come and sit in the front row and just stare goggle-eyed at me. He said, you'd be fucking joking. Seriously, I mean, you try and do a good turn. Give a friend a lift. Never give a mug a lift. He'll die in your arms. I was trying to just Billy. Do the right
hey,
thing.
Hey, Don, I heard from Justin Quill.
Better set the scene.
So
how long are we going doing this for?
Well, this is it. Then we're finished and we go to sport. But he said he's clearly going to sue the podcast. Performance-enhancing drug taking. Mm. Prolific pants man. Unable to keep my thing out of my pants.
What?
So he said there's a few imputations there you'll be hearing from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not happy.
I wouldn't worry about the pants man and not being able to keep the old blue-veined hooligan inside the jodhpurs. I wouldn't worry about that. It's
what was the other one about the poker?
The vermilion tip kidney product. I wouldn't worry about that.
What did the lawyer say when you said that?
No, I wouldn't worry about that. I would be more worried about the performance-enhancing drugs, Donald. because he's now might be in the Olympic.
I said
team
so
in
I
Japan
with I said yeah, but we congratulated you for beating blokes 20 years younger, and he said yeah, true, smashed him in fact.
What about the girl who compensated for Justin's lack of ability?
What?
The girl in the K2.
Don't make it
mixed
worse.
Mixed K2.
Oh, I didn't know. No, I didn't know about that.
Billy, they had a big regatta. The
And speak to Ivan as well. Don't just speak to Billy.
Ivan doesn't have a microphone, to be fair.
Well, doesn't it? Just address him. He's not
Billy
just,
would relate to this because he would have driven past Lake Ngambi on his way down from Shepparton. Paddle Victoria had the Victorian Championships and... Justin Quill is a very, very well-known kayaker. Just missed out on the Olympic Games. In fact, he could have won nearly a medal at the Olympics because the chap that did knock him off and qualified in Australia, I think he might have been outed for drug taking.
Oh. Yeah, what was his name? He was the Iron Man bloke as well, wasn't he?
Justin Quill is a very, very good kayaker who just missed out at Lake Ngambi, and they had the championships a couple of weeks ago at Lake Ngambi, and this is what it's all about. And all Justin right. did very well for a 57-year-old.
So we better stop with sport.
Okay, well, there's a just to recap, Donald, just give us the two subjects you brought up in the hour we've been chatting, will you?
We've talked about Linda Rhett.
Just to show Ivan and Billy how much you contribute to this. Give us just the two subjects you brought up.
Let's finish with the question, Don.
Yep, bring out, this is the... Now, we've had a lot of people say this is pretty crass and actually not very in good taste, this. But they all love to wait for the answer.
Okay, Ivan, pick one out so...
Ivan.
Thank you.
Oh, geez, don't go to too much trouble there, Ivan. You pick the top one.
Oh, well, there's a million in there. Don, read it out properly so we can understand.
Traumatic.
You're in this, Billy. We're going to ask you this question as well.
Traumatic masturbatory syndrome is the habit of doing what?
TMS. Traumatic masturbatory syndrome.
Traumatic masturbatory syndrome.
TMS.
Is the habit of doing what? A, masturbating face down on the bed. B, masturbating immediately after traumatic events. C, only being able to, I can't read, able to
make
orgasm.
Sure my eyes go blind. It dims your eyesight
when you masturbate.
That's why you can't read it.
Only being able to orgasm at funerals or in hospitals, and B and D, being beaten during orgasm. Do you want me to read them out again?
No.
You got them all? Oh, so well. A, B or C or D?
D.
D.
I reckon D.
D. D.
What was B again, sorry?
B was masturbating immediately after traumatic events.
I'll go B. That would tend to mean the name, wouldn't it? Traumatic masturbatory syndrome, TMS.
I'm going B.
I'm sticking with a D, Eddie.
Okay, well, you are all wrong. It is A, masturbating face down on the bed.
Oh. How would you do that, Don? If you're lying on a mattress, how can you get your hand under your groin to give yourself a jerking? How can you do that? We'll let Billy pick one out or not.
Okay, Billy.
No, surely. Well, can we just pick a slightly cleaner one?
Cleaner
This is professionally
one.
Read now.
Read it out, Billy.
This is professionally read.
If you don't want to be involved in this,
your
employment might be in jeopardy by being part of this. Hand it over to Ivan or Don.
No, I'm in. To handle overcrowding, poor nutrition, or just plain boredom, cute and adorable ducklings will waste time by A, stealing food from the babies of other species, B, taking part in duck orgies, C, purposely kicking siblings out of the group, or D, resorting to cannibalism and murdering other ducklings.
A.
I'm going, well read too. It's the first time I've understood the question first up. Don usually stumbles with most of the words in genetic form. Phonetic form. I'm going with C, ducklings. If you want a good duck l'orange, you can go to the European. Have you ever heard
Come
of the
on,
European?
Enough of you.
Given the nature of this game, I'm going to go with the orgy one.
I'm going C.
It's actually D, resorting to cannibalism and murdering other ducklings.
Really?
Do you know what duck l'orange is?
Is it a duck fed on its other ducks?
Oh, it's a dish. It's a menu item at the European. Do you know who the European's owned by?
Your mate?
Con Christopoulos.
Yeah. He's a good fella. I don't know him, but I like what he says to you.
No, he's a good man, and he's a restaurateur. There's no N in restaurateur, Donald. Did you know that?
Yes, there is. It's like Blue Ribbon.
Is that true?
There's no N in restaurateur. It's not a restaurateur. It's a restaurateur.
Hang on.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Hit the button, Rodney. I've had enough of this.
Blue Ribbon it is.
Rodney.
Hang on. I want to see if this is true.
Dolt. Oh, go on then. Restaurateur. Everyone says, oh, he's a good restaurateur. I said, no, he's not. He's a restaurateur. How's it go?
Okay.
Hang on.
You win.
Thank you.
I'm hoping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because